I've got 9 a.m. We'll call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got a cellular device, we'd ask that you place it on mute at this time or on silence at this time. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we'd ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, maker of all things great and good, we come before you asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we're so thankful to be able to gather here peacefully under the security of your watch today. We also are thankful for the many first responders that we have that protect us here on earth while you watch over us in heaven. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless us with fair weather and good rains that are so desperately needed here in our area of this world. Lord, we also ask that you place your hand of wisdom and protection over those places that are troubled in this world, as we know that you are always looking over us. We ask the Lord also that we lift up our actions to you so that we may do here on earth what is honors you in heaven. And we ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
The pledges to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone that is participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning?
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure if I got a letter to be here at 9 o'clock because of the Twin Caverns lots that were possibly going to be, there was an amendment to possibly change the 5 acres to smaller lots. Is that still happening today?
No, ma'am. That item was withdrawn by the developer.
I came in from Dallas and took the day off work to be here for that reason. So wanted to.
Yes, ma'am. I understand. But that item, at the request of the developer, they withdrew their application.
But does that mean that, or do you not know whether or not they've decided against it?
I'm sorry, I don't understand your question, ma'am.
I do. In a short, what happened, you know, they asked for it. They sent the letters out, or we actually sent the letters out because we did not think that they were upholding to the proper rules. We're supposed to send out 3 notices in the paper. They rescinded the replat. So they are not going to do the replat.
Okay.
And I apologize because I got some phone calls. I tried to call some people, but we did not have a mechanism in place other than the agenda. Right. You know, I was hoping that people would look at the agenda and see that it wasn't on the agenda.
Right.
And so I profusely apologize.
Appreciate
you know, for that. We did not have a mechanism to notify everybody that it was not going to be on this agenda.
All right. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you explaining that to me and not have feeling like I drove in 2.5 hours for no reason. At least I had some kind of resolve.
So the good news is for you, I think it probably went the way you wanted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That's why I'm here. All right. And I'll excuse myself if that's okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you so very much.
All right, so I think that takes care of in person. So the next item on the agenda is item number 5, the consent agenda, noting that there are 3 items there. You may consider that for approval as one item, or you may choose to select any of those and talk about them individually.
I make a motion to approve A, B, and C.
We have a motion to approve the consent agenda by Commissioner Basham, a second by Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. I just have it. Motion carries. Item number 6 on the agenda is the road and bridge report. Mr. Latham.
That's just an update. We started spraying with a new oil truck. Still working some bugs out of it. Getting it going though. we started paving, putting all the gravel around, and we opened up a new rock pit right around the Ireland area. We want to try to make some rock in that area. We haven't had any up there in years, forever. I don't know if the county's ever had resources up there, so, but all we've been doing.
Do you already have a lease agreement or some type of agreement with them, or is that okay?
Yes, we put that in place a few weeks back with them. So.
Okay, good, good, good. All right, anything else from Mr. Lakeman?
The only other thing, since we've started chip sealing now, we're trying to catch up. We're not going to be able to dedicate much resource to the annex project down there, but I think we're ahead of Bobby and the project. So. I think they're waiting on us.
All right. Thank you for the update, Mr. Lakeman. Any questions, comments, concerns, Mr. Lakeman? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 7 on the agenda, which is presentation on construction projects by Jeff Heffelfinger, Southwest Architects, and Josh Contreras, Butler Cohen.
First of all, I don't know if Justin's fixing the lead here. We want to commend him on the work they've done, not just at the annex, but also at the jail. His team have done a heck of a job. I don't believe we could have got any better quality contractor than the biggest dirt contractor in town or in the area. They've, like I said, they've just been tremendously helpful. And, you know, we're very attentive to the schedule that everybody is maintaining.
Even though the plumbers and the rough plumbers and the electricians were cursing their pad.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. There's not a whole lot of cave-ins.
No.
Like, absolutely zero.
Yeah.
We have a lot of photographs. Josh is with me, and what I've handed out is a summary of the project. Okay? If you all recall from the very start, we started with an itemized budget, and we have carried that itemized budget at the last, at the guaranteed max. You had the initial budget, the development budget, you had the construction budget. Then we went to the guaranteed max where we signed our contract with Butler Co., which is line item 1, okay? That's right off the other document, just transferred it to here. And the last column is the column that reflects the cost as of next Tuesday. And I'll tell you why it's next Tuesday, because we'll be submitting their final retainage next week. So it's the last of the bills. So it won't match exactly today what your balance is in your books, but it will reflect the finish of the project and the release of the retainage. The only document we're still waiting to receive is the final closeouts, which they'll be bringing to our meeting on Tuesday next week. And I'll be turning those into the clerk's office. And basically, it's a thumb drive that we'll be given the SO, and I'll have one. We'll put one in the clerk's office, and we're probably going to give you another one just to hide somewhere. But what it is, it's all the operations and maintenance manuals. It's all of the as-builts. Everything about that project from the start to the finish, from the point of the construction documents. Now, I will ask the court when that's turned in to keep that as private, because obviously it's got the as-built plans. Today, I'm putting of record a complete set of documents of certifications from the engineers, from the jail commission, from TOS, Texas Accessibility, ADA compliance, all the Roan engineering third-party testing, the structural engineering certification, the civil certification, testing certifications, and the MEP certifications are all in that. Now, that could be open record, no issue with that. That there's nothing in there that would divulge anything to an individual about the building, just the certifications. So you now have that all in place. That's everything from the start of the project, when we met with the jail commission for the conceptual drawings, through the completion and certification for operation. So now that's of record. If I can turn your attention to this document, you can look at each of the line items. Starting with the construction easement with Mr. Carver, you can see how we performed on the budget for each of these line items. Obviously, it was under budget. The independent testing was under budget by $6,000. We did not have a geotechnical. We used the existing geotechnical. For the civil engineering, there was no cost. The survey work where Mitchell came out and did the survey work for all the sewers and utilities and the property lines for your easements and so forth, that came in under budget. The site demolition, thanks to Mr. Bash and Mr. Weddle's work, came in under budget. We have all the catalog pieces of the decorative entries stored in the impound yard currently. Josh's team will be getting those when we get ready to build the sign, because if you all recall, we use that same entablature on our sign as an entablature for the to kind of bring the old into the new. And that's all in their construction budget to build. Relocate the JP's office. Oh, thank you. In relocating the JP's office, you'll note the little first asterisk. We've still got about 8-9 months of construction to go on the before they're moved into this new building. So what I did is I estimated $2,300 a month, and I think this month it was $2,310. I think what Karen gave me yesterday. So I estimated it at $2,300 a month, because in the winter it was only like $1,800, $1,900. So to get to the number I've got to, which would, if we stay on that average, would be under budget about $5,000, unless they have some maintenance or something that has to be associated with it as they go forward over the next 8 months. I'm going to turn the construction cost over to Josh, let him review that with you. And there's the notes about it under asterisk two.
So Jeff, thank you to everyone here, Commissioner's Court. I wanted to go over this note to just give a summary about the ins and outs of the project. So working with Commissioner Bash and Commissioner Weddle and Jeff, we're able to not only build the jail expansion but upgrade some of the infrastructure in the existing sheriff office and jail. Kind of the big things out of the gate, talking to these guys, was upgrading all of the security system, doors, their hardware, and bringing them up to everything electronic, where the sheriff's office is able to control all aspects of the building. That one there, it was about $365,000. That was very needed to bring it up to the 21st century. Everything pretty state of the art, and those guys were able to see everything. We did do utility upgrades, so tying into the infrastructure and upgrading some of that in the roadway to be able to make sure the maintenance department and everyone had something brand new that would extend the life of the entirety of the building. Overall, there were some additions, but working with these folks here, we were able to save at the end of the project back from our guaranteed maximum price about $286,000. That money has gone back to the county, and they are able to use that for if and we need it at the annex building. So,
and that was what the plan was all along. I know we committed $91,000 in the guaranteed max at the time of the annex agreement, but in excess of that, at the end there was another $194,000 what went towards it. At the end of the day, with the upgrades and everything, there was a net cost of $174,000. When you look at just the cameras and the door locks of $320,000, obviously it would have been well under budget. If we wouldn't have done those things in addition to what we had planned to do from the start. So, you know, I commend the construction company. You know, they stayed on schedule, completed it on time, like within days of the schedule, with the hiccups that we dealt with the sewer tie-ins, etc. With, you know, working with the Sierra to get the demolition done. You know, it kind of all came together. It was a great team effort. And like I said, I started with Kyle and Commissioner Weddle, and Ryan took over for Kyle. And guys, thank you. You enjoy doing a project where the whole team is involved that can kind of keep the flow going. And that's very important, because obviously when you finish on time and under budget, it's because your schedule's maintained. You know, because remember, a lot of money is dedicated to resources that are on those projects every day. And if we save days, like we talked about at the start, days are saving money. So pretty much next Tuesday, I have the release from the bonding company to allow them to have their final retainage. I will be submitting that with the final draw. Now, I am going to tell you, this is not an audited deal, okay? But I will say this, Mr. Mack, you can attest, every single month they go through our documents. And this is just their just basically the Excel spreadsheet is carried forward here. So at the end of the day, you know, I believe in my mind it was a pretty successful project. And I think, you know, they did what they said they were going to do from the start, and that was to get it done on time, and save us money.
The spreadsheet he's referencing is the one I put in your inbox every commissioner's court meeting.
Yeah.
It's a more detailed spreadsheet of all the expenses.
Like I said, if there's no questions on that, I can share with you real quick. And Judge, I hope it said project, so I'm assuming I can go ahead and do this deal real quick.
Yes.
Just real quick on the courthouse. And it's, all right. Well, you've probably seen the sign. We put out there a little bit more of a 3D look for people to start seeing it and start understanding how the elevations work. We're actually going to submit a final exterior color scheme. I have them two ready. I'm going to visit with the commissioners about them, let them review them first. It's on schedule. We're looking at ways to take care of all the issues as we went, just like on the other project. And like I said, Justin's team did a wonderful job on the pad. Retaining walls are, I'm going to say, 60%, maybe 70%. The pad is going to be poured tomorrow night before the rain. And if you're
at midnight, midnight for anybody that wants to come out and enjoy it.
Yeah. And if anybody's going to be in downtown around midnight, you want to avoid the area. It's going to be a lot, because they're going to pour it monolithically. I haven't even been told how many yards, but Roan's probably got to send two people to watch it. Okay. But at the end of the day, you know, they've got us all the information. We've assembled it. I think you're going to really like the color scheme that's come out of the color studies. And just here to answer any questions. You'll get a follow-up summary, just like on this project, like we did for the jail at the end. And you'll be getting your monthly updates that we give Commissioner Weddle and Commissioner Bashan to share with the court. Any questions or... Oh, and Mr. Matthews' team have been excellent. I mean, you know, I hope a lot of projects, you know, this way we have a kind of a checks and balance. We are checking the job and balancing, and the auditor's office has been making sure. I have missed a few pennies. I told you it wasn't accounted from the start, okay? There's a couple ones that say revised. But at the end of the day, you know, it's innocent mistakes. And I like I said, I don't ever profess to be an accountant, but he keeps us straight, his team. So.
And one other October surprise we might have, which is a good surprise, is Commissioner Bashman and I met with the city council and asked them to reimburse us for the $58,000 that we spent on the sewer upgrade. So that could be a nice October surprise.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, sir.
Which would add to that total savings value, because that number was in.
Yeah, I didn't want to take anything.
No, right.
But at the end of the day, even what they thought they had, they didn't. And we had to prove to them that they didn't have what they thought they had, which at the end of the day is going to be good for everybody. But one thing it did allow us to do is address the whole situation, since the annex on the same basic lines. And his team's already tied into the sewer. They're getting their water lines ready to go. I mean, it's going along at a pretty good clip.
Mm-hmm.
What is this sign that we're constructing using the old jail pieces?
It's the sign right here, Judge, in front
of you. You see it on that one better.
Yeah.
Well,
what we did, it's on the plans. We took the entablature for the old JP entry.
I know what you're saying. That's the old jail, though.
Right.
It's not the JP office.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yep. I mean,
it was the old jail, correct?
Yeah.
But for me, it was the JP's office. But understand, yeah. Remember, we worked with Sierra to create a specification for them to remove that entablature and save it and catalog it for us.
Yeah.
And then we took those drawings and those dimensions and incorporated it into our sign, and that's where the sign on the building is going to be.
Oh, okay.
I know we talked about trying to do it on one of the side doors, but at the end of the day, the scales were wrong.
And that's why it's a piece of history to the building, so many people have concerned with. Any other questions, or I can answer anything? Thank you all very much.
Other than, you know, since it's a love fest right now, guys, you know, from the weekly owners meetings, I will tell you that both of these companies truly amazingly looking out for our money. We spent a lot of time talking about ways we can do some cost savings. So I want to applaud them and coming in under budget, you know, considering all of the the surprises we had along the way. I appreciate the work that you guys have done. I look forward to completing the annex on time and under budget again.
Thank you all.
Hey, Mr. Contreras, I've got one question for you. I'm going to throw you under the bus because this is what everybody does on projects. What do you have as an estimated completion date at this point on the annex?
January of
2025. 2025.
Our goal, Judge, is to that'll be moved in, but our goal is to put a Christmas tree in the lobby. Yeah. That's what we're told our goal is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But based on our construction schedule, that's where it's.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Tired of people being back.
Yeah. It ain't happening.
I'll give you a hand.
And I already told them I'm donating the cedar tree to put on top of the building when they pop it out.
Hey.
Thank y'all.
Appreciate it.
Thank you
for your time.
All right. Anything else we need to cover under the presentation? All right, hearing none, moving on to item number 8, which is considered date for groundbreaking ceremony for the Leon Street Annex. Commissioner Weddle.
Okay, Jeff, could y'all stay for just a second?
Yeah.
For this item?
Sure.
Sorry, Judge. I want to make sure because they're a part of this item. Groundbreaking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I personally think we're past groundbreaking if we're about to pour the foundation. I don't think that's...
Well, look, groundbreakings are, and that's why I brought it to the court. Josh has been requesting it for quite some time. Everything going on, it just was difficult. I had brought it up in one court before. Obviously, groundbreakings are 100% ceremonial. It's purely ceremonial. It is to announce to the public. We have, you know, Kaylee from the Gatesville Messenger. I'm sure she would appreciate a nice photo op opportunity to. I've got good JPEGs of this, which, you know, you can put in the paper. Yeah, just an opportunity to do a good press release. But trust me, they know I'm not enamored with a groundbreaking, so I'm going to leave it to the court to decide.
And Judge, if I might interject, from a safety standpoint, we requested a little bit of delay because of the we started the dirt work kind of before the whole process, and it really wasn't a safe site to have people around. We felt like once the slab was in, we would have an area that legitimately the public could, you know, if they chose to come to it, it would be a safer zone. That was, it's been a pretty deep hole for quite a while. So that was my suggestion, only from the standpoint of safety. And you can do it on the parking lot if you want. That's your call.
I don't think it's necessary. I mean, I understand that they're, you know, it's ceremonial in nature, and you know, we've kind of had this dual project kind of going on for several months now. I mean,
I'm not totally being in the picture.
I'm indifferent. What I'll get with you and give you all the information so you can do a nice write-up for the public.
Yeah, it makes me no difference. I'm fine with it, without it.
I'm sorry.
If we do it, just do it on a meeting day. That way everybody's already here. That's up to y'all.
I brought it to the court to decide, not me.
Okay.
So is there some action that the court wishes to take under item number 8?
I have no action, Judge.
Hearing none, Ms. Newton, if you would note under item number 8, no action taken, please, ma'am. Thank you. Item number 9, update and actions on grants to include but not limited to SS4A, HMP, RCP, CDBG MIT, and CWPP. Start off with SS4A. Ms. Jordan, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you, Judge?
Doing pretty well, pretty well. What is the good news for us today?
The good news is the safety action plan is complete, and it was submitted to DOT for their pre-application courtesy review. We are expecting a response by May 1st. And in the meantime, we're working on the implementation application. We have a team working on developing projects, getting more specifics to include in the application. And I will be reaching out at some point for more specific projects, locations, help with different aspects. So, and the plan is also posted on the county website.
Okay, very good. And I believe Mr. Belt has forwarded that to the SITCOG so that they may share that with Kimley Horn, the vendor that is doing the regional plan. I'm sorry?
Judge.
Oh, you did.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You have forwarded that to
yeah, and all of us.
Yeah.
All 106 pages.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else? Any questions, comments, concerns for Ms. Jordan for the SS4A? Very good. Ms. Jordan, thank you. Moving on to the hazard mitigation plan. Ms. Jordan, you want to share some good news there?
Yes, the hazard mitigation plan was approved on April 10th. So next steps are for the different jurisdictions participating in the plan to adopt the plan officially. And there's an info sheet on that was provided by TDEM when the plan was approved. And I also can provide a adoption resolution template that can be shared with the different jurisdictions. And then that way that can just be sent out, signed, and that should take care of that. But the deadline for adoption is July 9th.
Okay. If you would share that template with us, I could get that revised and get that sent to all the jurisdictions that would need to adopt and approve that, as well as disseminating that plan out to them so they can make sure that they've got that finalized copy. So for the court's information, we will have that resolution adopting that as part of our agenda at the next meeting, the first meeting in May.
Judge, if I may, so you're going to sort of take the lead on getting that out to like Oglesby and Evan and everybody for and Hannah to provide support with make sure you get the right form.
If I can work with her on that, yes. But I think that's part of our responsibility.
Thank you.
All right, so any questions, comments, concerns on the HMP?
Yeah, did we get funding before or after this? Help you get some money from this?
This, we were ineligible for a whole big pot of money because we were the only county in the Sitkag area and about only one of like maybe 17 counties in the state that did not have a hazard mitigation plan.
Right.
So we were ineligible for certain blocks of funding through state and federal sources because we didn't have them.
In other words, we had to have the hazard mitigation plan in place.
Sure, to get those funds. But I thought once we got it, we were going to receive $100,000 to maybe to draw up some plans to go out for some of the funding when we got our hazard mitigation plan. Am I wrong on that?
I'd have to go.
The production of the hazard mitigation plan, fair vendor, we'll get a copy of the check, we'll submit reimbursement, and we're going to attempt to draw down some funds between the amount of the contract and the amount of the grant. Once we have time to do that paperwork and get it submitted.
Okay.
So, Judge, Commissioners, go back to discussion about grant funding available. Somebody else on our team, not Hannah, but we've got somebody else looking at grants that are open or about to be open that require an HMP. Most of those, once you actually have the APA, you've got the point where we are now, then you're eligible. So for the first time, the county is now eligible for these funds and require HMP. They don't make you go through the adoption. If you're inside the window, inside the 90 days, which we are, then we can start looking for possible opportunities. So we may be coming back to the court during the next couple of meetings and talking about some things that y'all may want to think of. Thank you.
Very good, thank you. And I'll tell y'all this one's been a long time coming. It's been a working process for many, many years. So I'm glad this one has come to fruition. Anything else we need to cover under HMP? Questions, comments, concerns? Okay, we'll move on to the Resilient Communities Program grant. We've gotten some information to MRB Group next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We will have community outreach engagement meetings. We've got Lisa working on Wednesday. We know for sure will be Copper's Cove. Between what's available for Evant and Oglesby between Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and then because we have direct resources available to the county to host a meeting, we will take the slot that Evant and Oglesby don't. But hopefully by the end of the day, I should have all of those locations. The time for all of those will be 6:30. And that should keep us moving with the RCP. Questions, comments, concerns?
Just for our guest here, RCP, that will be a part of that is hopefully some of the funds will be used for rewriting and updating the subdivision regulations. So if you get out to your group, that might be certainly a good meeting for those folks to attend and also give us some guidance.
Okay, is that going to be on for Oglesby area?
They haven't told us which day that we're trying to let them be able to choose to give them some flexibility because we're utilizing their facilities to be able to do it. So it'll be either Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday.
Next week.
9D, CDBG MIT. The last update I've got was Langford were required to resubmit the entire application. I believe they've done so. Mr. Belt, do you have anything additional on that? Okay. Questions, comments, concerns? Hearing none, item number 90 is the Community Wildfire Protection Plan. We had submitted for an implementation grant on that. Ms. Jordan, have we heard anything on CWPP funding?
No, we're still waiting for a response.
Okay. All right. Questions, comments, concerns under CWPP? Any other grant opportunities or grants the court wishes to discuss? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 10, which is update on construction projects.
Obviously, we had a pretty good one earlier. Some of the things we had in the owner's meeting was the delivery of the 10-ton unit. Has that been
prepared?
Okay. We had purchased a 10-ton unit when we were talking about upgrading the ACs, and the court decided at that time not to do the air handlers, but we've got the 10-ton unit and a
three-ton
that are being stored at maintenance. All the other action items were what were done except for the submitting of the as-built and closeout documents, but clean out of the inbound yard, issue hot water, okay, that's done. Annex, the termite was done, termite treating, exterior forming, rebar is being done, and rough-end plumbing, and as we said, we'll be pouring Thursday night.
Anything else to cover under update on construction projects?
Yeah, the remodel over here. They got it all demoed yesterday and they're putting walls up today.
Thanks.
And hopefully I have it sheetrock and stuff by the end of the week.
Could you ask them to use softer hammers?
Probably not.
That we would appreciate softer hammers and if they've got any sound suppressing nails, those would be helpful as well. I understand there may be an additional cost with that. I'm willing to contribute to that. That's good news. That's good news. Just unfortunate we have thin walls. Or anything else to cover under item number 10? Hearing none, item number 11, which would be consider actions on items to support construction projects. Are there any actions that the court wishes to take for construction projects?
I have no
objection. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 12, which is consider a budget amendment number 5 for FY 2024. That went out in your packet. I believe you should see the breakdown, and I won't get into Mr. Woods Lane. But basically, I believe this is the breakdown for the receipt of and distribution of Senate Bill 22 funds for the county attorney's office, the district attorney's office, as well as the county funds.
Make motion to approve amendment number 5.
We've got a motion to approve budget amendment number 5 from Commissioner Matthews.
Second.
And a second from
RB.
Commissioner Basham. You don't know how it might. Yes. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 13 on the agenda is to consider budget amendment number 6 for FY 2024. This would be to support the purchase of the in-car camera systems for the Sheriff's Department based off of the previous budget amendment that was adopted by the court. Got a motion to approve budget amendment number 6 from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 14 on the agenda is to consider court order CC24-02, order declaring equipment property as surplus salvage, noting I believe went out in your packet, and it reflects 3 vehicles from the Sheriff's Department.
Make a motion to approve court order CC24-02.
We've got a motion to approve from Commissioner Matthews.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 14? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 15 is to consider an action to set values to 3 patrol and offer for sale to GISD PD.
Just out of the surplus, I would make the motion to set a value of $15,000 and offer a sale to the Gatesville ISD Police Department.
Thank you.
We've got a motion to set the value at $15,000. How did we come up with that number? We have any document to reflect?
Yes, sir. I gave it to y'all in a flash report, pulled it off of 2 police websites where they auction off used police vehicles. And if you don't have it, I can get you another copy of it.
I think to protect the interests of the court and the county, I think it'd be good to have that document to enter into the record so that Ms. Newton could have a record of that, of how and where we came up with that value, regardless of what that value is, just that we've got a document that reflects that.
Okay. I'll get her a copy.
So there's a motion and a second. Any further discussion on item number 15? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. And Ms. Newton, if you would also note with that, pending the documentation of that valuation. Item number 16, discussion and possible action on setting a date for a workshop to evaluate office space utilization.
Judges, we discussed at the last court meeting the domino analogy. So the first domino has fallen. We're, you know, remodeling the extra code space for the tax office. So obviously there's been a lot of conversation over the last 4 years that this has been, you know, pending us. What are the next moves? And I think when I say a lot of opinions, I think everybody has an opinion. Certainly we've got new court members that have not been a part of any of the discussions over the last 4 years. So I just think, in talking to a couple of the other elected officials, one, have a conversation, but two, have a workshop where we actually, you know, travel over the space, you know, actually start talking about who we think is going to occupy those spaces. The Fort Fortia as we heard this morning, we'll be moving out of their space in hopefully December of 2024, which is not that the kids, we know Christmas is right around the corner, right? So I just thought it would be a really good idea whether we do it on the end of another regular session or we do it as a special workshop to really sit down and get everybody. We can talk about opinions today also about who we think is going to move into those spaces. Judge, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'd asked y'all several meetings ago, study on the facilities, whether you have one. I just need to know whether you have one or not so that we can come up with a mechanism to reproduce. No one has come back to me and said, hey, we've got this. So if I could get that.
I did, Judge. I told you I dug through all Darren's stuff. We couldn't find mine. I found the RFP for it, but I could not find the study.
There's some good drawings. There's some, some spaces that are available that I don't think maybe, have been considered. And it does, then we need to do a little bit of data collection with some departments, and I'll start working on that.
If you don't mind, ask Mr. Obuck to scan that into the public drive and put it in the commissioner's folder, then I'll have access to it at least. And we'll have it in there when we can share it or reproduce parts of it if we need to over time. That way it'll be in the spot.
I'm going to take the lazy man's way out first, and I'm going to ask RDBR if they have a digital copy of it. But yeah, one way or another, we will get it into a digital format. But that was the thing, is if most everyone had access to it, we'd forego that because it's folding bent up. But that's the most comprehensive. And I think there's one other update potentially to that, and I'll have to go back and look. But I think that gives us one starting point, noting that there are going to be pieces in here that are outdated. I mean, it's going to reference, the MHRMR building, the old hospital kind of thing. But it doesn't exist anymore. Most of the key areas of how office space are covered in this. I think that at least gives us spacing to start out with, knowing what square footage is available and what the current configuration is.
When was that study done?
2013.
Well, I visited with the DA's office and have walked the tax office and done some preliminary reviews over there about building that out for his staff, which I think can be done and very reasonable because you're only talking about interior walls. You're not talking about anything structurally to hold the roof up or anything. I believe that we can make about 5 offices in there for those attorneys or greater. There's a limitation on that south side. That ceiling's a little lower, and it has to do with the structure from up above, but it can still function. It's not like you're gonna bump your head. Nobody in this room would. I think at some point, once the 40th is out, we really need to look at the juvenile side and the DPS side about moving one of those over there. The functionality of them working out of schools, it's not working. It's just not working. Terrible situation, I guess. From the internet side and then just the flow, it's not good. So, but I think moving those two would, the juvenile office and the DPS, darn near eliminates a bunch of it. The next would be I think we need to do something with the CID, still use that building for evidence, but and it does have a new roof on it. You know, it leaks forward, but it does have a new roof on it, which that report will not show. And of course, age of air conditioners and roofs. I think that report was done prior to the county attorney's roof being done, and then one other, I believe. But nevertheless, I was adult probation and
juvenile probation.
Adult and juvenile code.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one was too. Yeah, yes. That one was too. But that's separate. Yeah. But I think you could eliminate a lot of that once the 440 is out, moving the DA's office over into where the tax office is, and all that would flow back because there's definitely enough square footage. That's my opinion on it. I mean, I walked through it and done some somewhat scale diagrams and start that with them.
Well, part of this was a request from the elected officials was to have a workshop where they can also come in and be a part of this process. Anybody who has a concern, to use our grant thing, any stakeholder, because, people are already trying to plant their flags. And so I just think we need to clearly, communicate to them, what our future, plans are. So I would like to, I don't think we need to do anything other than just putting it on record that I think, a workshop on the May 14th commissioner court, if everybody's, available for that afterwards, invite the elected officials that it's going to impact or those that think it might impact, and just kind of have a public forum on that available space over there. Because just like anything, man, it sneaks up on us. It'll be here. It will be here before we know it. But that, I probably wouldn't be any problem getting those folks to us prior to that then, so we can do our due diligence and then have a, just have a, not really a public, it'll be public forum, but certainly any of the county folks that want to attend can attend it and see what we're going to do with spaces.
Next question on that. What kind of time frame are y'all looking at where the DPS guys would move?
It won't be till at least January 25 because that office will not be, that building will not be completed until then.
We're housing them. I like having the free cops.
I agree.
At the school, but it has caused some hiccups here and there, like when a trooper brings in a large amount of high potency marijuana and they stink up our offices at one of our schools, and it causes some issues down there. So we've ironed out the process where that stuff goes straight to Waco now and stuff. So we haven't been having a problem with that. But the admin at the school have been asking, how long we're going to be housing them so they can have their office space back.
Sure.
Okay, I don't want to squash good conversations, but I think we're getting just a little bit. I mean, we're giving more examples of, some of the issues, but the agenda item is the, discussion of possible action of setting a date for a workshop to evaluate the office space utilization. What I've heard the court wanting to indicate is to get something set sooner rather than later.
So to formalize, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we set a workshop to discuss the utilization of office space for the May 14th Commissioner's Court meeting.
Got a motion to set a workshop for May 14th from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. As have it, motion carries. Item number 17 is discussion and possible action on setting a date to complete and distribute a budget calendar for the 2024-2025 budget season.
Judge, I asked to get this put on just again because, you look at it, we're almost already there again. 90 days out from some of the things that we're going to need to complete as a court. And, you know, one of the reasons I have this on the forefront is, I don't know about you guys, you know, I get a question all the time from people. What does a county commissioner do? And my response is exactly the same as it was, you know, when I campaigned, was our most important function as a body and as an individual, in my opinion, is to prepare a budget, set a tax rate to support the budget, to pass the budget, and then to manage the budget, and then to repeat that process yearly. And I sum it up with that. All this other stuff, answering phone calls on the roads and everything else, is all predicated on a good, solid budget. And I was not, you know, pleased with the process, you know, last year that was kind of crammed in, you know, towards the end. Judge, I'm going to ask a huge favor of you. It's obvious that you and I operate on two different wavelengths, meaning I like to have things planned. I like to really be ahead of the game. You're more of a, you know, kind of get it done, you know, towards the last minute. I'll remind you, we had a final proposed budget, you know, at 4:45 on August 15th, I think, of last year, which was the day the proposed budgets were due. So I just want to get ahead of it. I also have heard complaints in the past from other elected officials that they don't see a budget calendar quick enough. You know, here's the layout of what the budget, you know, calendar is going to be. So I just want to make sure, and I think, well, let's see, I got this. I don't think I put this in y'all's packet. You know, so this is from TAC, and this is just some key dates, you know, that they suggest hitting. And if you look at it, I think it's by July 30th before filing the annual budget with a clerk written notice given to each of the elected, you know, officials. So, I mean, it's coming up pretty darn fast. And Judge, I recognize that you are, you know, the budget officer, you know, of the county. And I'm just going to continue to push that we get this process, you know, started, that we get it on record, and specifically a budget calendar out to all the other elected officials and department heads. Even though I know the comment's been made in the past, well, they know a budget's coming up, you know. But if we can get that calendar set, kind of based on some of these dates, I would really, really appreciate it. If this year we're not scrambling at the very end, you know, trying to you know, pass a meaningful budget.
They have great demand.
Yeah, because if you look at their recommendation, July 31st is the recommended date for the county judge to file a proposed budget with the county clerk. We post a copy of the county website for public inspection. That's July 31st. Yeah, 90 days that we should have a proposed budget filed. So that would be my goal. I know you don't like it. That's all I have on it, Judge.
Is there any action that the court wishes to take on drive number 17? Hearing none, Ms. Newton, if you would note, no action taken under drive number 17. Item number 18, consider audit report from Roberts and McGee, CPA. I'm going to guess that they're not here just yet.
The last update I had, Judge, was 9:45 with the nearing Hamilton.
Hamilton.
About 10:30 is the time they normally run.
All right.
The time I told them was 10:30, but y'all have moved very efficiently through these agenda items.
There's a couple things that we could take care of, you know, while we're giving them some time. And then if we need to give them a little additional time, we obviously can.
Thanks.
So moving on to item number 19, pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,310,248.90.
I make a motion. I make a motion we pay the bills of $1,310,248.90.
Second. Motion to pay bills from Commissioner Weddle and a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 19? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. To do a little housekeeping, I did not have anything on the agenda under item number 22. Mr. Belt, is there anything that we need to discuss concerning? So there is no need for item number 22. And so inherently we have no action to take on item number 23, which then brings us to reports. Commissioner Matthews.
Friday is still a go for the Employee Appreciation Day. They shorted me on some meat, so I went back and ordered some more. It's already been delivered. I just hadn't picked it up. So I'll finish getting that today. HR is taking care of the cake and a few other things. Y'all got the ETJ review where you look at it. You should have got an email. My only suggestion is, you know, you need to get it, visit with Road and Bridge, and kind of work through that. This whole month is, you know, crime victims and child awareness, child abuse awareness type stuff. We've got an event Saturday in Copper Cove. It's a memorial type event set up under the name of Ronnie Biss. And we feed a bunch of kids, and they have playhouses and all that kind of stuff. So I'll be cooking them hot dogs again, like 300 hot dogs. So I think that is it.
Commissioner Weddle.
I won't steal Commissioner Basham's brain discussion, but it was nice. Back on the employee appreciation. We're having our meat cutting party on Thursday evening, I guess. Is that fair enough?
I think that'll work.
Okay. And then what time do we want to meet Friday morning? 8 a.m. if they can give us?
8:30 somewhere now. Yep.
I like 8 a.m.
What time we want to do it Thursday?
No, we knocked that out pretty quick. A lot of knives flying.
I've got the shoe contract at noon. Say it's changed, but other than that, I'm
good. 6 and 7 or something?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock?
You know where to go back? You got your back?
I will probably need the road again. 8 a.m. And Commissioner Basham, I'm offering up my assistance to load the wood if you need.
Okay. I can handle it. Okay.
Plenty of wood. I'll have that with me when I show up.
Friday. Sure. You don't need any help?
No.
Okay. No. I got a beater truck if you need it.
I got the buttons. I'll let us use his big cooker again. So.
They gonna move it under the awning?
Yes. Or I may have to. Before, but
he said that would be good. Yes. Friday morning.
All right. So I just want to make sure we kind of sit. It's hard for us to. We technically can't.
Yeah.
Talk about county business. You know, when we're all together. So I want to make sure we got our plans straight. So 8 a.m. on Friday morning, we'll start boiling potatoes and.
Yep.
Cooking the meat,
I believe. Yep.
All right, that's all I got, Judge. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Basham.
On the rain, well, nice. We got this week and keep praying for more rain. That's all I got.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Taylor.
Like you said, rain good. Sunday, the Jonesboro Fire Department barbecue is Sunday. I come out to support that. And ready for Friday.
What time does that start?
Sunday?
Sunday.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, and that is next Sunday, not this past Sunday. For those of us that, yeah, the 28th Sunday as opposed to the 21st Sunday.
Yeah.
For those that drove out there and then turned around and came back because they figured out that no one was there. Yes. Okay. ETJ agreement with Copper's Cove. It's something that we've been working on for about 18 months. Mr. Mannix has been integrally involved with that, intimately involved with that. Commissioner Matthews has been intimately involved with that. The entire process consisted of taking our subdivision regulations as well as their subdivision regulations, merging those two documents, finding out where all the common ground was and where we had differences. And so we went line by line on those differences. And that's the document that I emailed out to you this morning. With that, the City of Copper's Cove has sent that to their attorney for a legal review, not a substantive review. They're not going to look at, because we have gone pretty much item by item on this. What I've asked in that email is if you see something of substance that needs to be addressed, I need to reach out to Copper's Cove and let them know. So please do not reply all to that email. I would ask that you give your individual comments on any areas that you believe need to be addressed at this point. But what you will see is the document you have has been a cooperative effort. And I think it's as good as we're going to get. I mean, I would like for y'all to do that by the end of this week. It would be my intent that that would be on our first meeting in May to approve that interlocal agreement for the ETJ. And again, we are required by statute to have an ETJ agreement of some sort. And the one we have currently was not, my perception from Road and Bridge was it was not, wasn't working for us. So there's a lot of things that are addressed in there about construction standards, road profiles, widths, whether those are urban roads in the ETJ or whether they're real rural roads in the ETJ. It's a pretty extensive document, and I appreciate the time that Mr. Mannix and Commissioner Matthews have devoted to that, as well as the city employees of the City of Copper's Cove. Victims of Crime Assistance Grant. This is one of the grants that we've had for a number of years, and I didn't include it under the grant piece because it's a, I want to recognize this separately. I probably should have even asked her to be here. But it is applied through, we are required to have certain crime victim coordinators and crime victim assistance personnel. And one of these grants is that we receive is distributed to through the Central Texas Council of Governments. And every year, Ms. Brandy Rhodes puts together a presentation that she delivers that's applying for this grant. This year's grant application was for $105,000 and some change. But the total cost of that program really comes out to somewhere between $160,000 and $180,000. And that is subsidized through the pretrial diversion fund, as well as a little smidgen that the county may contribute. But to see the time and effort that Ms. Rhodes put into compiling her presentation, and to give you an idea, there was more than, collectively across the COG, they exceeded the grant funding by about 200 and something thousand dollars. And she made extremely good arguments for the receipt of those funds. And she's been successful at it year after year. And I think, you know, it's worthy to recognize what an outstanding effort she has done in writing that grant, you know, getting it submitted, and just doing the whole crime victims coordination piece. And where that leads into is, you know, we'll kind of carry on to that is, you know, we have two nonprofit Christian-based organizations that are operating within the city of Gatesville today that did not exist 6 or 7 years ago. And one of the, I think one of the guiding principles of the creation of those two nonprofit organizations was because there is a need for outreach to take care of our victims in some of these, you know, some of the more serious crimes, you know, assault related, sexual related crimes within the county. And our local folks saw a need to address that. And I don't think that that would have all come about without the important work that Brandy does. So I wanted to recognize her for that and what a great job she's doing there. Then the last one I've got, and I apologize for it, but Friday I have a scheduling conflict that I could not resolve. So I won't be at the appreciation luncheon. However, we do have gifts that we have gotten. We'll draw for those on Thursday and announce those winners. And that's all I have for my report. So given that we still have one item on the agenda, I would ask that the commissioners stay local to this building, because rather than just sit here in silence, let's recess until 10:25 and see where we are at that point of whether Ms. Roberts and her crew have made it in. During this recess, I would ask that if I can get your signatures on the minutes, I think that's the only document that we need at this point. So we are in recess until 10:25. Thank you.
Thanks, on the volunteer.
Okay, I've got 10:32, and we'll reconvene in open session. The next item on the agenda, The next item is going to be item number 18, and we're here to consider an audit report from Roberts and McGee, CPA. They are the firm that has conducted the FY23 audit for the county. And so we've got Ms. Becky Roberts here to present the findings. Ms. Roberts, I'm going to turn it over to you. I believe you're right on time. I mean, Mr. Wood said he told you 10:30, and I can't make it 2 minutes. I mean, you're.
Yeah. So I'll just hit the highlights, but I'm glad to answer any questions or go back over anything. So I'll start on page number one. It's the independent auditor's report. And as the judge said, this is for your year ended September 30th of 2023. And in the second paragraph on page number one, we give our opinion that these financial statements are presented fairly in all material respects. So that's a clean and modified opinion. I'd like to say that the audit process went very well again this year, and we enjoyed working with Matthew, with Nancy, Brandy, and the other staff of the county, and they're always very helpful to get us information that we need and to answer the questions and work with us on that. So the process went very well. The next section of the report is from page 439, what's called the management discussion and analysis. And this section is kind of a narrative, and also is the only place that we have comparative information. So on page number four of this management discussion analysis, there's some highlights or bullet points there.
Most of you know, we the audit's presented on two kind of distinct ways of looking at it. And one is called the government-wide financials that takes all of the funds of your county, which there are a lot, and pulls it into one column, like one financial statement that shows the position of the county. And so, and that also is on a full accrual basis. So that first bullet point shows that at the end of the 23 fiscal year, you had $33.5 million of equity. $13.1 million of that was unrestricted and available for operations. $12.7 million is restricted for capital projects, debt service, all of your special revenue funds. And then $7.6 million of that equity is invested in your capital assets, net of the debt that's related to those assets. Your outstanding debt at the end of the year was a little over $9 million, and but increased substantially over the prior year due to the 23 series tax notes of $6.7 million that is being used for the jail expansion. And then also on that government-wide basis, we're seeing a decrease in your equity from the prior year of about $2 million. And you'll remember, just refresh your memory, kind of the main things that happened in the last couple of years is the prior year, your equity increased about $3.2 million. And that mainly was a good bit because of the COVID recovery funds. You received $2.6 million in that year. And then the year prior to that, 21, you received about $12.1 million of those COVID funds. And so what we're seeing this year is you're spending more of those. And so we actually are seeing a decrease in your overall equity. And then the fund financial statements is what you're more familiar with, that you budget basically on a cash basis. And it shows similar information, that your fund balance on that basis is $28.9 million. About that is unrestricted, available for operations. And that equates to about 9 months of current operations. And so that is a good place to be for the county. Generally, we like to see at least 2 or 3 months of equity, that, you know, if something happened, you were able to continue operating. And so you this year running about 9 months of equity. And then the last bullet point is that you had about $16.2 million in your restricted funds on this fund basis. If you turn over to page number 7 of this section, continuing in the management discussion and analysis, as I said, these are the only place that we have comparative information. So I just wanted to show there your total revenue. And again, this is the government-wide, county as a whole. You had $24.9 million in the current year, $26.8 million in the prior year. And again, mainly that is due to the large recovery COVID funds that you received in the prior year. Property taxes, you note there, were up about $100,000. So basically about the same. You've lowered your property tax rates, but the values are continuing to go up. So that came out fairly even. Your investment income is up substantially. Now, going from that 0.2% to 3.5%, something like that, it really made a lot of difference. And then on the expense side, your expenses were right at $27 million, and that was up about $3.4 million. And again, you had more of the money, the $14 million that you received from COVID, that you were beginning to start to spend some of that money. So we're seeing there, as I mentioned, a decrease in your equity of about $2 million. The next section of the report are the financial statements, and I was going to turn over to page number 15. Page 15 and 16, the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. So these are the funds that you're more used to seeing and budgeting: the general fund, Golden Bridge, capital improvement, debt service, and then all the other special revenue funds are grouped together in non-major governmental funds. Then this statement is on a modified accrual basis, and we've identified the major funds there, as I just mentioned. You'll see there again that the general fund, actually I wanted to explain this. The first year you got the ARPA money, we determined to include that fund with the general fund because it was funds that were available to spend on any kind of general operations. And so we're trying to pull out all of those potential expenses, we combined that fund with the general fund. So in the current year, the general fund reflects a decrease of about $5.5 million, but you see that 23 year was when you transferred out a good amount of those excess funds, about $3.5 million, to go to the other funds, such as capital improvement and some of the special revenue funds. So the operations were similar to the prior year. Expenditures, as I said, are up a little bit higher, but the general operations are about the same within the general fund. The capital improvement fund, you see there, the capital outlay was a little over $3 million, and that mainly was the jail improvements that you spent some of the note, the 2023 revenue notes on. And then also at the bottom of that column, we reflect here the proceeds from that financing. So in capital improvement fund, we're actually showing an increase in equity of about $5.3 million. And that's because you had not spent all of that debt funds yet. I think that's all I was going to go over on this page. The next section of the report, page 21 through 47, are the notes to the financial statements. And these notes just go over more detail about your accounting policies, more detail about your capital assets and your debt. I was going to point out that the debt disclosure starts on page number 28. This disclosure is similar to what you see in your annual report when you do your budget. Your debt schedule. So you can see there, new debt was on the chip spreader, road and bridge trucks, and the 2023 tax notes. And then you paid down on the existing debt of about $884,000, which left you that $9 million of outstanding debt that I mentioned earlier. Below that is the maturity of that debt. So you can see basically what your commitment each year is for principal and interest of your combined debt. I guess I might also point out on that summary, the changes in your debt at the bottom, right of use assets, vehicles. We talked about that last year, that we were required to implement a new standard where what we used to call operating leases now have to be treated as capital leases and capitalized and related lease liability. So you had new vehicles in that category for about $470,000 and had paid down about $237,000 on those type leases. You would turn them over to page number 38. This is 38. This is the budget and actual for the general fund. So this reflects the original budget, the amended budget compared to actual, and the variance. I just like to point out this schedule, kind of a summarization, that your total revenues were at $16.7 million in the general fund, which were higher than your amended budget of about $1.3 million. Expenditures were $19 million, which were about $1.7 below your budget. And you had budgeted originally a deficit of about $5.8 million to use
to use some of your fund balance, and you ended up coming in at only a deficit after financing sources of the $2.8 million that we talked about. So you came in right at the net amended budget. And then on the next page is a similar schedule for the rolling bridge loans. And they're showing that your revenue was above the budget by about $56,000. Expenditures were below budget by about $1 million. And that gave you a positive budget variance of about $700,000. On page number 23. They usually kind of depend on your pension liability, and that number can fluctuate greatly, mainly based on the markets because of the, you know, the great changes in investments that we've seen over the last several years. So on that page 43, we have the years 2018 through 2022 related to your pension liability. Last year, see about halfway down the page, that we actually had an asset at $4.3 million. And then this year, it's turned back to a liability of $1.2 million. But if you think of page prior to that, we have four additional years, is that it's running fairly consistent. I guess 21 year was kind of a flip on it. But it's not anything to concern yourself about or worry about. You're funding your pension plan as required, as needed. And like I said, in the notes, there's a discount rate that they show if we lowered it 1% or raise it 1%, what this change would be. And it's a fairly good change. So y'all right in the ballpark of where you need to be on that. But like I said, we have to record that in your financial statement, but it can kind of skew the information. Let's see, page 34 is what I was referring to. And I don't understand all of this because TCDRS requires actuaries to figure all of this out, but you know, they adjust the discount rate based on what the market's doing. On your pension plan, it stays fairly consistent, but at the top of the page, they show in the middle column that at the 7.6% discount rate, that's where we have your liability of $1.2 million on your financials. If we increase it or decrease that discount rate, which is a estimate, then you can see how much change that has. So I think it's been fairly consistent. And you're right on target for funding it. I got off track of what I was going to go over, but I think that is the majority of what I was going to go over. We didn't perform a single audit during the current year because your federal and your state funding grant expenditures were less than the required $750,000. So we had done that in the previous couple of years because of the COVID money, and it looks like that may well be required in next year because of some of the grants that you're getting. But I'd be glad to go back over anything else.
Well, Ms. Roberts, I'll tell you, first and foremost, I appreciate the wonderfully good work that you and your staff do. I mean, not everybody is even aware that you are here because it's almost like you are mice. Other than, I mean, you kind of come out, you get a little something, you go back into the hiding area. But I know that there's a lot of good number crunching data collection being done. I commend you, and I want to thank you for all that good work. And then Mr. Wood, on the government side of things, thank you for the cooperative effort to be able to get them the information they need. I always forget it from year to year, but I know it when I see it, and it is the statement of the financial statements referred to above present fairly. That's what I look for. I mean, if I can see that clause in there I know that no matter what else is here, you know, we can make it work, or it, you know, it's, so I was great. It's great to see that statement. And yes, there were some, dynamics with, you know, unearned income, if you will, about, you know, some of the ARPA funds and things like that, and kind of how they are making, balances, go up and down a little bit.
Did the audit, and it was a good process. I'm not sure people enjoy having audits, but we try to come and you know, do the best that we can on it. Again, your financial statements are kept on basically a cash basis, and so we do a good bit of work to convert that to a full accrual basis. And the handout that you have at the back includes those adjustments. This is the required communication with governments. And there were no new standards implemented during this current audit year. As I mentioned, we had implemented that list standards in prior years. We performed the audit in accordance with the engagement letter that we had signed back in October. And there were no difficulties in dealing with management. We mentioned the misstatements that we did during the year. Some of them, a few, you know, corrections of things miscoded, but the majority of the adjustments were to convert your books from cash basis to full basis. So this letter does not have any findings or issues in it that we need to bring to attention.
I'm tickled. I just keep smiling over here. So any questions, comments from the court? Okay. Again, Ms. Roberts, thank you. I would add, was this delivered in any type of electronic copy?
I haven't sent it over yet, but I probably will later today.
No rush. I've already got some of these agencies that are already hounding me for that. So if you could, at your convenience, get that to us. Okay. Thank you. And I'm sorry, Commissioner. I was going to say for the item number 18, it is, in fact, to consider the audit report. I would encourage the court to take action to accept the auditor's report as presented.
I make a motion. We accept the audit report as presented from Roberts and McGee CPA.
Second.
We've got a motion to accept from Commissioner Weddle, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 18? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Again, thank you, Ms. Roberts. Safe travels back as well.
Yeah.
And that concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned.